Chapter 49. Even before Jaina peered into the sunken compound, she feared they might be too late. An oily column of pyre smoke was rising out of the pit, gathering beneath in a blackened valve that periodically cracked open to puff the fumes out into the vacuum. The air reeked of charred flesh and scorched bone, but also slower kinds of decomposition that made clear why the place lay so far from anything else. Whatever the Yuuzhan Vong did with their dead, it did not involve preserving them. Despite the guidance of her comlink's signal finder, Jaina did not see Lobaka until a powdery arm rose out of the ash and waved them onto the observation balcony outside the tunnel mouth. She dropped to her belly and, trying not to think about the fact that she was crawling through the incinerated remains of untold thousands of Yuuzhan Vong, advanced to the edge of the pit. What lay below struck her as more of a processing center than a mortuary. About a tenth the size of the spaceport, the five-sided facility lay at the hub of a dozen large travelways, most of them emerging from the world ship's murky interior. Many of the subterranean passages had been permanently sealed with Yorick coral plugs. The rest were choked with Yuuzhan Vong mourners, their numbers no doubt swollen by the strike team's efficiency, a thought in which Jaina found herself taking some solace. The Yuuzhan Vong had finally shattered the emotional armor that had been accumulating around her since Annie Capstan, her first regular Rogue Squadron wingmate, perished over Ithor. They had made the war hurt again, and now she wanted to hurt them back. As in the spaceport, long colonnades at the bottom of the five outer walls opened into a network of utility warrens, whose purpose Jaina could only guess at and cared little about. The five grottos that stood in the facility's five corners were more interesting. The effigy of a major Yuuzhan Vong god sat in each recess, gazing out at a deep pit directly in front of his, or her, eyes. Beside each pit stood a priest and several assistants, chanting prayers to the gods and inviting the mourners, one group at a time, to step forward and throw a piece of their loved one into the pit. Which piece seemed to depend on the particular effigy. Into one pit they lowered the skins. Into another they tossed the major bones of the body. Into Yun Yamka's pit, the only god Jaina recognized, they poured the blood. The actual preparation of the corpse was performed at one of any number of stations of varying opulence scattered around the interior of the compound. Selection of a preparer seemed to involve a fair amount of barter, as Jaina could see mourners arguing, sometimes violently, with the aproned body dressers who performed the work. After the work was done, the first stop was always a blazing pyre in the center of the compound, where the skull and hands were thrown. Jaina grew cold inside. "If they did that to Anakin," Lobaka groaned softly and pointed over the rim. Being careful not to push any ash over the edge, Jaina eased herself forward and saw, 20 meters below, a handful of Yuuzhan Vong warriors, playing some game that involved kicking a snarling spike creature into the opponent's bare chest hard enough to make it stick. Standing off to one side, weaving Anakin's lightsaber through a surprisingly smooth practice routine, was Vergeer.
"So where's Anakin?" Tahiri hissed.
Lobaka gestured at the warren beside the warriors, then to a nearby airlock, explaining in a soft rumble that the lock opened into a small docking pit, where Vergeer and her companions had a shuttle waiting. Jaina and the others donned their vac suits, then camouflaged themselves with a coat of ash, and spent the next hour watching the gruesome rites below. Had they not seen a pair of Yuuzhan Vong emerge from the warren with the husk-encased body of a comrade, and depart in one of the small Yorick coral transports the Yuuzhan Vong sometimes used inside the world ship, the wait would have been interminable. As it was, it merely gave Jaina a chance to watch the ghastly spectacle, and hope the warriors who had killed Anakin were among those being offered to their gods. At last, a young Yuuzhan Vong subaltern emerged from the warren and summoned two of the crew inside. The others quickly began to dress, pulling thin tunics over their heads and coaxing their living armor open so they could don it again. Jaina cautiously lifted her power blaster out of the ash, clearing the emitter nozzle and targeting sensors with a quick breath and rub of her tunic.
Blast them when Anakin's out where we can see him, Jaina said over the comlink. She missed the intimacy of the battle meld, but it was probably a good thing that Jason was not here to link them all together. As angry as she was feeling, she did not want to open her emotions to the others.
We'll jump down and get him, then commandeer the shuttle, go find Jason and finish this thing.
Check, Zek said, acknowledging the order. By the time the others had checked off as well, the subaltern was walking into view. Behind him came the two crew members, an Anakin-sized husk suspended between.
May I have the officer? Alima asked, setting the long blaster's sight on the subaltern.
Take him, Jaina said.
The others named their targets as well, Tahiri taking the front husk carrier and Zek the back. Lobaka set his sights on the pilot, and Jaina aimed her power blaster at Vergeer.
I've got Featherbag, she said. Fire it.
Four blaster bolts lanced down into the mortuary pit, but Zek's hand crashed down across Jaina's barrel, and her shot went wide, burning into the ground next to Vergeer's feet. The creature was already jumping to one side, Anakin's lightsaber coming around smoothly, as though she actually knew how to use it, a notion that was dispelled when she let it slip from her hand and clatter bladeless to the ground. Jaina whirled on Zek.
What did you do that for? I had her.
And we don't know you should have. Zek retorted almost as hotly. She's done us no harm, and she's had the chance.
The company she keeps is harm enough.
Jaina peered back into the pit, but her target had already snatched Anakin's lightsaber up and ducked out of sight, as had the spared husk carrier, taking with him her brother's body.
Zek, don't do that again. Don't you dare stand in my way.
By now an astonished murmur was rolling across the compound as the crowd below began to realize they were under attack. Jaina shouldered her blaster, then snapped her lightsaber off her belt and hurled herself headlong into the pit. Using the force to slow her descent, she performed a twisting flip and landed facing into the warren, midway between Tahiri and Lobaka. Alima was on the other side of Tahiri, her long blaster rising to her shoulder. The warrior whose life Zek had spared was backing under the wall, using Anakin's body to shield himself from the Twi'lek's weapon, and drawing his kufi.
You two secure the shuttle, Jaina ordered Loey and Tahiri. Alima and I will get Anakin.
As they scrambled to obey, the Yuuzhan Vong plunged his kufi into the husk and cut it open near the head.
You want your Jedi?
He thrust the blade through a layer of clear gelatinous slime and placed the tip on Anakin's cheek.
Stay back, or I give him to you in pieces.
The long blaster roared, missing the Yuuzhan Vong but demolishing the keystone of the arch behind him. He flinched and looked over his shoulder at the tons of rubble crashing down behind him, then turned back toward Jaina and moved his knife toward Anakin's eye. Rage boiling inside her like magma, Jaina reached out with the force and shoved Anakin's body hard. The Yuuzhan Vong yelled in surprise and stumbled back into the collapsing arch, his kufi sliding away from the eye. Jaina jerked her brother free of the warrior's grasp and sent him floating in Alima's direction.
Take Anakin, she said.
As Jaina spoke, she was opening herself to her anger, using the power of its emotion to draw the force into her, as the Dark Masters, Brakkus and Tamith Kai, had tried to force her to do so long ago, when she and Jason had been imprisoned at the Shadow Academy with Lobaka. The power came surging into her in cold waves, feeding on her hatred of the Yuuzhan Vong and pouring it back to her twofold. In a motion so fast Jaina barely saw it, the warrior sat up and flicked his kufi at her throat. She could have dodged or blocked with her lightsaber, but she did not. Instead, with the fierce energy crackling inside her, she used her free hand to bat the weapon aside, then raised her hand toward her attacker and released the dark power inside. A fork of lightning crackled into existence a few centimeters beyond her gloved tips, then blasted a hole through the Yuuzhan Vong's chest and hurled him onto the rubble pile, smoking and motionless. Jaina felt someone watching and turned to find Vergeer staring at her from the shelter of a nearby archway, Anakin's lightsaber dangling from one hand, and her narrow eyes angled in what seemed a peculiar expression of dismay. Jaina sneered at the creature, then raised her hand and loosed another bolt of force lightning. Anakin's lightsaber snapped to life in Vergeer's hand and rose to intercept the attack. Then, eyes going wide, she turned and fled into the warren, the lit blade wagging behind her like a tail. Alima came to Jaina's side and, somewhat tentatively, took her by the arm. "We'd better go." Jaina grew aware of a roar building on the other side of the vessel, and realized that the outraged priests were exhorting their mourners to attack. "The shuttle? Secure," Alima reported. "Everyone's aboard but us."
"Good."
Jaina took Anakin from the Twi'lek, then entered the airlock. As the outer valve opened, she thumbed the fuse of her last thermal detonator to 10 seconds and dropped it on the middle of the lock.
"The vac breach that leaves ought to burst a few scarhead lungs,"